Welcome to the Boaters Lounge, a podcast series brought to you by Oasis Marinas. In this series, we envision the forum can inspire, inform, and educate our audiences by bringing together thought leaders from our marine industry partners, friends, and experts as we explore various topics affecting us and the boating community nationwide and eventually across the globe. Our mission is simple. We're here to engage with our team, boaters, marina owners, partners, and the boating community at large. My name is Allie Modica. I'm an Oasis Marinas team member and your host for our conversation today. With me, I have Lee Dimmert. She's here with me in Annapolis. Lee is the general manager at the Wharf Marina in D.C., and she holds a 100-ton master captain's license, making her a certified yacht captain. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thank you, Allie. I'm excited to be here with you.
Thanks for sitting down with us. Can't wait to jump in and learn more about your experience and start in the marine industry, your unique experience as a captain, all that's required in that role, some of the day-to-day responsibilities, and then some of your best experiences on the water. First off, for our listeners, I think I know the answer, but if you're going out on the water, is it power or sail, and where are you going?
Power. I'm useless on a sailboat. And anywhere warm. I don't want seasons. I want it to be 80 degrees, sunny, and a white sand beach somewhere.
Ditto. So. All right. Well, it's really fun for us to have you on. It's not every day we get to talk face-to-face with some of our awesome Oasis team members, so this is really cool. All right, let's start with the basics. Where are you from? How'd you get your start in the industry?
So I kind of just stumbled into it. I grew up near a beach town in Alabama called Orange Beach. It's a tourist town. There's only about 8,000 people who live there year-round. But in a town like that, you either work in a restaurant or work on a boat. Those are kind of the two options. Most of the women opted for working in restaurants, and I opted to work on a fishing charter boat. So I just kind of stumbled into it, and that was my first gig, was on a fishing charter boat.
How long did you stay there?
I started when I was 18, and I left, I think, four years later. So I stayed around there for about 4 years.
And then where did you go from there?
So I worked on a yacht in Orange Beach that went to, it was sold, and the owner took it to Fort Lauderdale. And then from Fort Lauderdale, I mean, you know, it's like a day trip to the Bahamas. So places like that, I mean, that was a summer gig. So summer it would be like, you know, to the Bahamas and then back to Fort Lauderdale. It just kind of depended on when you got a charter. I know shows like Below Deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it seem like you're just constantly chartering this boat. But it's not, at least in my experience, it wasn't like that. I mean, we did have charters, but they weren't like back to back to back to back, you know, like constantly with guests on board, stuff like that.
Right, like working 10 days, getting one day off, working another.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely always working because we were on the boat the whole time, but there weren't guests on the boat the whole time.
Got it. And when did you know you wanted to be a yacht captain, or how did that evolution happen?
Once I was a mate on the boat, I pretty, like, immediately knew, like, I want to be in charge of this boat. I want to be a captain. I didn't know it going in. It was just kind of like a summer job, and then it just kind of developed into this career for me, but it's not something that I, like, knew from a young age that I wanted to do.
So what goes into being a captain? What kind of certifications, training?
Yeah, to be a captain, it's all about sea time and being on a boat. It's different everywhere you go. So, like, you have inland licenses, you have near-coastal licenses. I have a near-coastal license, which means I can go up to 200 miles offshore, which can pretty much get me anywhere I want to go except cross an ocean. But that requires about 4 years' worth of sea time, and inland licenses require 2 years' worth of sea time.
What's the largest boat you've worked on?
The largest boat that I've worked on as a crew member was 120 feet. The longest one that I have personally driven was about 80.
So take us through a typical day for you as a captain. So when you're preparing for a trip or actually out there on the water?
Safety is always top of mind, and it's all about guest experience too. If you have the owners on board or you have guests on board, it's really just about tending to their needs and checking itineraries, checking weather, making sure everything's going to plan, helping team with their day work, with their work lists. It's a lot of planning, though, is the main thing.
And now, do you still captain ships?
Not actively. I do enough deliveries and stuff to keep my license current.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So when you do deliveries, it's one of my favorite things to do. I mean, every once in a while you'll get an owner that wants to do a delivery with you, but it's very, very rare. So essentially, you know, me and another captain and a couple of my friends, you know, who are also crew members, you know, if somebody buys a boat, we'll do a delivery. Let's say the owner in Fort Lauderdale wants his boat in Martha's Vineyard, you know, next week. It looks like we're making a trip up the East Coast to Martha's Vineyard. So
what does that trip planning look like?
I mean, it depends on how much time you get, how much notice you get, I guess. But it's really just like looking at the weather, looking at places you can fuel up along the way, looking at places you can stop along the way, if you're going to stop. If you have multiple captains, you don't always have to. You can keep on trucking. I don't think I've ever done that, but like once. but it's really just logistical planning of where are we going to stop for the night, where are we going to get fuel, and what does the weather look like? Do we need to tuck in to Charleston or somewhere like that if there's bad weather off the Chesapeake?
Well, when you were in charge of these massive vessels, you're in charge of every component of this vessel's movements. You recommend trip destinations, obviously safety you touched on, managing the crew, and then the guest experience. What were your main priorities with so many things to consider?
So safety, number one, obviously, and organization. Organization is, I think it's overlooked, as well as communication, because I have to communicate to guests, to owners, to my entire crew. So communication and organization were always at the top of my priority list.
Yeah, that's a pretty unique position, being between the actual yacht owner and then also working with the guests.
Absolutely.
And that's, I mean, that's kind
of... And they're all very different.
Right, yeah, and that kind of like leads into the next question, which now you're transitioned into our general manager for one of the Oasis's largest properties, the Wharf Marina in D.C. So you have a similar responsibility where you're also between the client, Oasis, and the boaters there. So
yeah.
Or how does your captain experience relate to your responsibilities at the marina?
I think my leadership, just as a captain in general, prepared me to lead the team at the wharf. And just like working on boats, working in a marina, it's a lot of moving parts. You have to be very adaptable and think quick on your feet to solve issues. Again, it's a lot of safety, a lot of communication. There's also, I think one thing that gets overlooked is the financial aspect, because I'm managing, you know, this asset that's worth X amount of millions of dollars, and it's the same thing on a yacht. Because I'm managing, like, okay, how can I save the owner money on fuel if I fuel up here as opposed to there, dockage space. So it's a lot of, you know, financial management, too.
Yeah,
that goes into both.
That's a good point. What specifically is top of mind regarding safety?
That's a good question. You know, weather is a big one. I always have to know what the weather is going to do. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I just, like, everything needs to be working. You never know what's going to happen. Like, I'm not an engine room person. Somebody who works on the deck will be the first person to tell you they're not an engine room person. So if anything goes wrong in the engine room, I can try to help you. And I have a very limited knowledge down there. But I'm going to heavily lean on my engineer in those circumstances. In which case safety would be put onto his shoulders. Ultimately, though, it is my responsibility, and I just need to make sure that everybody's on top of their game and doing everything in the safest way possible. Like, nobody's got flip-flops on in the engine room. They're wearing closed-toed shoes, you know, like random stuff like that.
So you told us you have about 10 years experience in this position from starting on the charters. What has been the most exciting place you visited?
Again, not the most incredible answer, but if I could revisit the Caribbean for the first time on a boat, I totally would. As an 18-year-old, working on a beautiful boat and going down to literally any Caribbean island, it's, you're like, I'm working. This, I'm getting paid to do this. So if I could experience that again for the first time, I would do it in a heartbeat.
And what was the best experience you had on board as a captain? So maybe not destination-based, but more actually guiding the ship.
So deliveries are always my favorite because the owner is not on board. It's just me and my crew. You know, they become like your family because I'm away from my family for so many hours and so many days at a time. So just those moments that we got to spend together alone on the boat, just doing really anything we wanted was incredible. And the stress is gone when you're doing a delivery.
So what are you delivering for some of our listeners that may not know?
So I delivered tiaras for a while. That was the main one.
So from
anywhere. So I did most of my runs really were from Fort Lauderdale to a place called New Bern, North Carolina, which wasn't even like on my radar before. But there's a lot of tiaras there. I'll tell you what.
Shout out New Bern. Now, as a woman in this male-dominated industry, what was that like for you trying to break in?
I had a very unique experience because it was very easy for me. I got really lucky. The two captains that I worked under were amazing and wanted nothing more than to help me get my captain's license, which I know is not the case for everybody. But shout out Bo and shout out Wayne. They were great, and they really took me under their wing and taught me everything they knew. At that time, it was the Gulf of Mexico, so about, like, navigating the Gulf and just really what it took to take on that responsibility of, at that time, fishing charters, which can be pretty stressful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet. Especially in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, that's hurricane season you're worrying about, too. There's a lot going on over there. Do you have any advice or tips for young marine professionals thinking of entering this captain super yacht space?
Yeah, jump in head first. If you enjoy being on the water, if you're passionate about it at all, you'll never work a day in your life in this industry. And every day will be full of challenges, but it's really rewarding, and it's, I mean, I have the best office view in all of DC. So, yeah. I mean,
really sweet setup.
You can't beat it. If you enjoy it, then you should jump in head first and start as a mate and work your way up the ranks, because if you start at the bottom and work your way up, you just gain so much knowledge along the way. Just listen to everybody around you and take it all in.
And same advice for young professionals looking for a role as a marine operator?
Oh, absolutely. If I could be a deckhand for the rest of my life, I probably would.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Lee, for sitting down with us. What a fun conversation today in the Boaters Lounge with our very own 100-ton captain and marine operator. Before we let you go, we've got our lightning round.
Okay.
All right. Best boat name.
Titanic 2. I'm just kidding. I am a big proponent of naming your boat after your wife or your daughter.
Oh,
to
right.
gain a lot of points.
Is there a lot of that happening at the wharf?
No. There should be, though. There should be.
Yeah. Best boat drink.
Oh, a pina colada. Or honestly, anything that doesn't stain.
Very smart.
No red wine.
That's a woman who knows. She's been there.
No red wine. Anything that doesn't stain, but pina colada number one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Best lesson you've learned in your career?
Talk less and listen more.
I think that's great advice, especially for young professionals. It's not all about what you have to say or saying the right thing.
No, and you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So listen to the people around you.
Take it in, yeah. And best advice to your younger self?
Patience and persistence pay off. And then one thing that was said to me a long time ago that I still think about is always write your life plans in pencil. Don't write them in permanent ink.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure 18-year-old Lee wouldn't know she'd be here in D.C. and Annapolis.
No, I had no idea that I'd be sitting down here with you, Allie.
All right. Thank you, Lee.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this chat as much as we did on this episode with Lee Dimmert. Tune in each week for more from Oasis Marinas, including interviews with company leaders and team members, discussions with our partners and industry friends, boater tips, tricks, and more. Follow us on social media at Oasis Marinas on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. If there's a guest or topic you'd like us to feature, let me know. Email me at marketing@oasismarinas.com. In the meantime, keep the throttle down and sails tight. So long.